I'll read in English and then we have Kozel Keller to read in Nihongo. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Then the king said, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the royal park, so that he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request."
ネヘミヤ記2章の4節から8節までを日本語で読みます。すると王は私に言った。ではあなたは何を願うのか。そこで私は天の神に祈ってから王に答えた。王様、もしもよろしくてこのしもべを入れてくださいますなら、私をユダの地、私の先祖の墓のある町へ送ってそれを再建させてください。王は私に言った。王妃もそばに座っていた。旅はどのくらいかかるのか、いつ戻ってくるのか。私が王にその期間を申し出ると、王は快く私を送り出してくれた。それで私は王に言った。もしも王様がよろしければ、川向こうの総督たちへの手紙を私に賜り、私がユダに着くまで彼らが私を通らせるようにしてください。また王に属する御縁の番人アサフへの手紙も賜り、宮の城門の針を置くため、またあの町の城壁と私が入る家のために彼が木材を私に与えるようにしてください。私の神の恵みの御手が私の上にあったので、王はそれを叶えてくれた。
Good morning. How you all doing? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your gracious hand upon us. And we do ask, Lord, that your hand will continue to be with us, Lord. Be with JCCT, be with each and every one of us individually, Lord. And Father, we ask that your grace, your mercy, your presence would fill this room, Lord, and would continue to increase, and our sensitivity to you would continue to increase as well. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So how are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. All right, Ted. Thank you so much. It's hot. I think the rains are going to come pretty soon, right? I can't wait for the rain. But today we're going through Nehemiah. If you weren't here last week, we talked about Nehemiah chapter 1 and Nehemiah's prayer. And one of Nehemiah's assignment in life was to rebuild the temple walls. In essence, to begin to rebuild or to begin to usher in the presence of God back on earth. That was his assignment. Now I want you to know that each and every one of you has an assignment as well from God. Just as Nehemiah had. God has a purpose for you. And just as he has a purpose for you, he also has a purpose for us as a church. And I believe one of the purposes for the church here at JCCT is to, I don't want to say reestablished, because I don't know if it was ever lost, but be a place where the presence of God dwells. Amen. Be a place where the presence of God dwells. I want to talk about a little bit about the presence of God before I talk about Nehemiah. The presence of God. Now, when it comes to the presence of God, I believe the church, more than anything, the church should be the space, place, and people that come together. The presence of God should be felt most in the church. Amen? In the church. And I'm not talking about the building, but the building is included. And I'm not simply talking about the space, but the space is included. I'm talking about the people, the space, the building. Sunday morning, people should be excited and say, man, I need God's presence. I need the hand of God upon me. Let me find a church where that is present. That's just me. I don't have a Bible verse to quote, but that's just my understanding and idea of church, of why the church is so unique and so special and so necessary, is that people, believers or non-believers, can say, man, I need help. I need God. I need a touch. I need to encounter something transcendent. I need to go to church. I can't wait for Sunday, because that's when they come together. Now, I think it's important to define what I mean by the presence of God. Well, what comes to your mind when I say the presence of God? Don't say it out loud. Just think. Use your. What's it called? Your inside voice. I don't know. Use your church voice. Church inside voice. What comes to mind when I say the presence of God? When I say the church should be a place where you can encounter the presence of God. For me, of course. For me personally, it does. There is emotion involved. Peace, joy. There's also a love, because God is love. I also, when I think about the presence of God, I think about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think about grace. And what I mean by grace is not simply not getting punished. But when I think about grace, I think about an enabling and empowering to do the thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. You guys know what I'm talking about? Because sometimes, in the flesh, we might not want to do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Right? That's just our flesh. Grace enables us, empowers us, even gives us a hunger and thirst to want those things. And so there was one time I went to a church service, mega church. They used to meet in the Forum. I think something happened where they couldn't afford the Forum. You guys know what the Forum is? I think a couple of people. Anyway, the Forum is where the Los Angeles Lakers used to play basketball.
And Sean lost his
first fight. Okay, where Sean O'Grady, boxing, lost his first fight. But this church, this mega black church, man, I remember going to that church, and by God's grace, I got to sit like in the first three rows. Now, you come to JCCT, you're trying to stay away from the first three rows. In a black church, traditionally, you can't get to the first three rows unless you're somebody. Unless you're somebody special, but I got to get to sit in one of the first three rows. And I came late too. It's not like I came really early to get those seats. And let me tell you, after service, there was such a grace over my life where it's like, oh my gosh, I want to pursue God. There was such a joy, such a peace, such a love, such an enabling that happened in that service. Now, I've never felt that feeling again, not quite as strong. But I believe when the presence of God comes, those kinds of things are not rare. But it increases. So when I talk about the presence of God, the actual, what it looks like is love. What it looks like is the fruit of the Spirit. What it looks like is grace. What it also looks like is in Luke 7:22, if you remember the story of Jesus being questioned if he's the Messiah, Jesus simply replies, "Go back and report to John the Baptist what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Those are all signs, visible signs, of what it can look like when the presence of God is manifested in our midst. Those are all visible signs. In fact, it's where, if you read the Bible, it's wherever Jesus was present, that shows where the presence of God actually was. Because God was the manifest presence of God. God in flesh. Now we go back to the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah in the Old Testament is trying to restore that on earth, back in Jerusalem. And one of the things that Nehemiah specifically points out, the catalyst, I believe, of the rebuilding or the reestablishing of the presence of God, the catalyst was, "The gracious hand of God was on me, and the king granted me my request." The gracious hand of God was upon me. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you pray that the hand of God will be upon you? Or how many of you pray that the hand of God will be upon the church? That's a good prayer. If you don't pray that now, I encourage you, begin to pray that every day. Over your life, over this church. That will be a catalyst to restore, strengthen, increase the presence of God. The hand of God upon you. Begin to pray that every day. I mentioned last week the prayer of Jabez, but in the prayer of Jabez, if you guys are familiar with that prayer, that's what Jabez prays. I think the prayer goes something like, "O Lord, bless me indeed, increase my territory, may your hand of favor be upon me, and keep me far from evil that I may not cause pain." This is the prayer of Nehemiah. I don't think this will get as big as the prayer of Jabez, but nevertheless, I do want you to pray specifically. Now Wayne was up here talking about a plan, and here's a practical plan. Pray that. It is a catalyst. What I mean is, it will spark something, a transformation, a change. Begin to pray that. Now, the wonderful thing about the hand of God is, and when it's upon you, it brings favor in your life. It brings supernatural divine favor in your life. It brings a supernatural change in your life, a change that you couldn't do on your own. And when that happens, if you go to the next slide in Nehemiah 2:18, it says, Nehemiah says, "I also told them," and this is Nehemiah talking to some of the people that were in Jerusalem, and he was telling them about God's plan of rebuilding the temple or restoring the wall. And as he was telling him the plan of restoring the wall, he says, "I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king has said to me. And they replied, let us start building. Let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. When we start to pray for the hand of God, and when we start to see the hand of God move, and when we start to share about the hand of God in our lives, I believe it encourages and increases faith. It encourages and increases faith. Now, if you remember Jesus' teaching, faith can move mountains. Faith can open the eyes of the blind. Faith can calm the storm. Faith can talk and speak to the dry bones and bring life. Faith could bring you prosperity, as Wayne always preaches every Sunday up here. Faith can change your family situation. Faith can change your marriage. Faith can change your financial situation. Faith can change your DNA. Faith could help you find a job. Amen?
Amen.
Faith could heal sickness. Faith in Jesus. Because faith moves the hand of God. And when we begin to share about how the hand of God has moved in our life, it increases and encourages faith. Faith that is so powerful that it can do all those things. Now, I don't know if you know, it's like Thursday mornings, right, Kazuyo? Every Thursday morning, I send Kazuyo the PowerPoints. I think I'm supposed to send it to you by Wednesday, but it always comes a little late. Thursday mornings I send Kazuyo my PowerPoints, and she's the one that translates everything into Japanese. I don't do that. I'm not skilled enough to do that. Kazuyo-san does that. But as she was translating it, she said, you know, when I was translating this PowerPoint, I remembered, I'll just read what she said. Is that okay? It says, while translating your message, I remembered some of what Bill Johnson talked about, the power of the testimony, in his and Randy Clark's book, The Essential Guide of Healing. Bill quotes Revelation 19:10, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is a spoken or written record of anything Jesus has done. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And any time we share something that God has done in our lives, we release the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy comes in two main forms. One is foretelling the future. One to foretell the future. Bill believed that the testimony of Jesus releases a prophetic anointing that has an effect on present realities. Things become possible in the present that were not available until the testimony was given. It is as though the testimony reveals what God wants to do again. It reveals what God wants to do again. So, for example, blind Bartimaeus. If Bartimaeus, and this is just, I'm just going in the realm I'm going into the realm of what ifs, okay? Gosh, I can't think of the word right now.
Speculation,
good. I'm just speculating right now. Disclaimer, I'm just speculating right now. But perhaps if Bartimaeus never heard of Jesus healing the eyes of the blind, he might not have had faith that Jesus would have done that. In fact, if Bartimaeus just heard that Jesus was a good teacher and never performed a miracle, I would go out on a limb and say he would not have had enough, as much faith as he had. He would not have screamed out loud, Jesus, Son of David,
have mercy on me. But because he heard of Jesus healing leprosy, casting out demons, opening the eyes of the blind, doing all of these things, he had the audacity to yell at the top of his lung, Jesus, Son of David. Now you got to understand, Jesus, Son of David, wasn't just that name could have got him stoned, killed at that time. Calling Jesus Son of David could have got him in real big trouble. He didn't care. He screamed it out. He screamed it out so all the people that would want to get him in trouble could hear him. But most importantly, he screamed it out so that Jesus would hear him. And Jesus heard him. And he got his eyes fixed. Praise God. Praise God. When we begin to talk about the hand of God in our lives, testimonies. It increases faith. It's not meant to boast about how God, you know, loves me and stuff like that. It's meant to increase faith so that it could happen in your life. So that it could happen in other people's lives. I would love to hear more testimonies. I would love to hear more testimonies. In Luke 11:20, Jesus says, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Again, the hand of God, in this case, the finger of God, when talked about, increases faith, and in return, increases the visible signs of God's kingdom. The visible signs of God's kingdom. Again, one of my passions is to see an increase in that, the presence of God here at JCCT. Not just louder singing, although today's singing was pretty good. You guys did a great job singing today. Good job, guys. That's powerful. No, I really mean that. It just present. I felt God's presence in singing, but it's more than just singing well or singing loud. It includes that. But it's more than that. My desire and passion is that when people come, they would encounter something transcendent, something they can't get at a Walmart. Something they can't get going to the movies. Something they can't even get going to a sporting event. Something they can only get at church. An encounter with God. And I believe the first thing to see an increase of this is simply asking. And then begin to share. And then begin to step out in faith. Faith again, John Wimber likes to spell it R-I-S-K. Taking risk. So, to wrap up. The hand of God. I really do want you to pray for it. You know, I know some of you are going through some stuff. Just pray, God, I pray your hand of favor upon it. Even if it's little things. God, I pray your hand of favor upon my job. Or upon finding a job. God, I pray your hand of favor upon my kids. My family. My finances. My car. On JCCT. And then begin to see and expect the hand of God to move. And as you see the hand of God move, begin to share about it. Begin to share about it. And don't just say, oh, it's just coincidence. Please don't say that. Because, you know, Nehemiah could have just said, oh, it's because I was a good cupbearer, the king gave me everything I asked for. He didn't do that. He said, no, it was because the hand of God was upon me. He gave me everything I asked for. And so when you do pray for something and it happens, don't just say, oh, I just got lucky. I don't know if God gets upset over that, but I would get upset
if he asked me to do something and I did for you and then said, oh, I just got lucky. No, I did that for you. Well, I believe if we ask God and if he does it, don't worship luck. Worship God. Praise God. Give him the glory. Share it. And then begin to tell about it so that it could be recreated. And it could increase and multiply and bless. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Again, we just want to worship you, praise you. Say we love you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that your hand of favor would come upon JCCT, each and every one of us, Lord, whatever the situation may be. In Jesus' name, amen.